And now, ladies, here she is, Gloria Swanson.
Yes. And with me today is Arthur Blake. And I can't... Arthur, I tell you, I'm thrown for a loop because I thought I knew you. I thought I'd known you for years. I thought I knew all there was to know about you. But somebody gave me a little information before we started the program. And you, of all people, Arthur Blake... Not that that it's funny that you're a graduate of Columbia University. That's all right. But in archaeology, now of all things, how can I associate you doing these extraordinary impersonations and being such a mimic and being a student of archaeology? And not only that, but it also says in this card in front of me that you're an assistant curator of the Metropolitan Museum of Art and Textiles.
That's right, historical textiles.
Well, it strikes me very funny. I'm sure of the audience. It must strike them just as funny when they know you as the great, I think, the great, great, greatest pantomimist in the world and an impersonator of the most, well, just the top in it in that profession.
Well, thank you.
What do you
Gloria.
Call it? Do you call it impersonator or
I like the word impressionist.
Impressionist.
It means satirical impressions.
Yes, because everybody...
Some people call us, I say us, used in a group, satirists, but I like the word impressionist.
Yes.
Because I'm not actually doing a photographic thing. I'm doing a broad satire on people.
Now, let's make a list of some of the people that do this work. Now, we know that Florence Desmond,
Sheila Barrett,
yes.
Dean Murphy.
Well, Sheila Barrett, not as much. She's more of a, I think of her in terms of a singer.
Caricaturist.
Caricaturist and a singer.
Yeah. Mitzi Green.
Yes, very good.
Mitzi does some very fine impressions. I think her Hildegard is very funny.
Well, yours is no slouch, you know.
Well, Mitzi has blonde hair and, of course, can give more of a physical illusion of Hildegard. I have the feeling of Hildegard that I try to portray.
What I don't understand and what you do more than almost any of the others, and that is that in the twinkling of an eye, you change from one person to another, as, for instance, from, we'll say, Betty Davis to not another woman, but to Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes. Well, it's an acting problem. I was quite amazed at your performance in 20th Century, Gloria, because you...
Well, what's that got to do with what we're
talking
about?
Well, it's an acting problem. It's all an acting problem.
No, but to switch in front of the people's eye...
It's just a switch of emotions. And
yes, but you have to take on the personality. It's almost a hypnotic thing.
Yes, it is, but at the same time, it's still an acting problem. You feel it inside and you project it.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't wait. Ask some more questions, but now for a moment, my sponsor has a word, and then we'll come back. And we get back here so quickly. Here we are. And we were talking about the change of mood and the idea of hypnotizing yourself from one mood to another. How you can hear in your mind the voice that you're doing now. You must spend what, hours with these people, or what? How do you?
Yes, you have to have a feeling that you can do the personality that you're about to caricature or impersonate. You have a feeling of the character, then you have a mental picture of that character. For instance, when I'm doing Gloria Swanson, I have a mental picture of Gloria Swanson as I know her, and then I take the qualities that I want as the Swanson that everyone knows, then I take the qualities of Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard, then I keep a picture in my mind all the time I'm doing it of Norma Desmond, and I am Norma Desmond. That is what I feel I am. And it generally gets over to the audience if your feeling is strong enough.
For those who... of our listeners who have been unfortunate in not seeing Mr. Blake, and I hope you all will at some time in your life, because it's a great, great treat. I want to say that you are, what, 6'3"?
Mm-hmm.
You weigh, may I say, what, 180?
I'd say around 200.
200. You have, I never have known what the color of your eyes are. I thought they were dark blue, but that they turn out to be hazel and are changing. They're green and everything else.
Oh, he just made a face that looks just like me. It has a nose that could be my nose, but it, also the funny part of it is it suddenly turns into a nose like Colbert's. You can do the weirdest things, and here is this man who can give the illusion that I am standing before you, Betty Davis, Hildegard, Colette Colbert. I'm trying to think of all the women you do. Oh, we mustn't forget our Tallulah, darling. And, Stanwyck and the whole bunch of us. And then all the men that you play.
But, darling, I am Betty Davis in front of you.
Oh, you see, isn't it weird? But that isn't only the voice, Arthur Blake, but it's the you change your size and everything. You play Mrs. Roosevelt. You play Luella Parsons. And you change, your body changes, your face changes.
Well, as I said before, Gloria, it's an acting problem.
Well, actors use makeup and they use wigs and everything else. When we're doing for instance, when I played the old lady shows her medals, I had a gray wig on and I took my high heels off and I took all the makeup off my face.
Yes,
that's what I'm trying to say.
But you did a projection, too. You had to play the part.
But not as much
wonderful.
As you have to do. Goodness.
No, I do about 43 characters every night.
Well, I should think you'd get so mixed up you wouldn't know what you were doing, or you'd have one face of one person, the voice
you
of another.
You have to have a catalog in your mind. I mean, I have a group of pictures in my mind, and when I want to be Swanson, I mentally pull out the Swanson picture, and I try to project the Swanson picture.
Well, you certainly do an extraordinary job of it. Now, Arthur Blake, we're going to have a message for our listeners, and then we're going to come back. Arthur Blake, now I must know how you got the idea that you were going to be an impressionist.
Well, it's a rather long story, Gloria. You told me, you have all the notes. I used to be a textile designer, and
You worked for Hattie Carnegie.
I worked for Hattie Carnegie. Oh, I did her jewel line, the famous jewel prints that she did. Then I did the scarves for the World's Fair, the New York World's Fair of 1939.
Scarves?
I did the official World's Fair scarf.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You're an artist.
Oh, yes. That's a sideline now. It used to be the main breadwinner, but no more. Because I used to do this at parties for free, for kicks, until I got awfully sick of staying up till 6 and 7 in the morning to entertain people's guests. So I decided that I should charge for it. Well, rather, I didn't decide it. I mean, the late Grace Moore had something to do with it, and Ilka Chase.
Really?
Two other people.
Isn't that fascinating?
So my first job was Atlantic City, a club called the Torch Club, $22 a week, sharing a room with a trumpet player who used to practice all day and drive me crazy.
Arthur Blake, please tell me something. We know that this started now, but tell me, when did you first know that you could impersonate people? Was it when you were a little child and making fun of your mother's guests or impersonating the next-door neighbor?
Well, I think I always had a gift for it. I used to go to see shows when I was a youngster and come home and do the whole show. I mean, I entertained. My grandfather was a semi-invalid, and sometimes he couldn't, on account of weather, he couldn't make the theater. We were very legitimate theater-minded. He owned part of the Mishler Theater in Altoona.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to come home and do the whole show for him if he missed it. And it got to be great fun for me. I'd come home and do the whole passing show or something for him.
Well, you know, Michelle, my daughter, you know, of course, she has always been a person that not just shows, but if people are around here have a special kind of voice or special mannerisms.
She takes them on.
She takes them on, and we have great
There's
fun
the birth
with
of a young mimic. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, who knows? Maybe she'll wind up doing that. Arthur Blake, I want you to hear Johnny Thompson sing. He has a perfectly beautiful voice, and he's always on my program, and it gives me such pleasure to have you hear him.
Love to.
I hear a bird, Londonderry bird. It well may be he's bringing me a cheering word. I hear a breeze a river Shannon breeze. It well may be it's followed me across the sea. Then tell me, please, how are things in Glaucomora? Is that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donnycove through Killybegs, Kilkerry and Kildare? How are things in Glaucomora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that lassie with the twinkling eye come smiling by? And does she walk away sad and dreamy there? Not to see me there. Oh, I'll ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way, and each lass that comes a song to lay. How are things in Glaucomora this fine day?
Thank you, Johnny Thompson. That was wonderful. And now a word from our studio.